Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I want to teach you how to live victoriously on the other side of the tree this morning. I know it's a holiday, but I got a prophetic word for someone in this house this morning. I don't know who you are, but you've been praying and waiting on your deliverance. You've been praying and waiting on your answer, and I'm going to give you the tools to get your answer this morning. Ephesians 1 and 18 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance of the saints. You and I have an inheritance from God our Father. And this incomparably great power, we have incomparably great power living in us after the fall. To those that believe, those that are sold out, those that have given their heart fully to God, that power is like the working of his mighty strength. How many of you need God to show off in your life? You need God to show his mighty strength. Wave your hand at me if you need to see God or you want to see God's mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. The word right hand is always significant of power in the Old Testament and New Testament. The concept right hands, and I don't mean to offend anyone that's left-handed, but the right hand, according to the Hebrews, was the right hand, the most effective hand. So it's saying that the most effective hand, the most powerful hand, has been exerted for you as an inheritance. Far above all rules and authorities, powers and dominion. Let me make that simple. There are demons, and there are demons over cities. I'm going to prove it in just a moment in the Bible. And there are angels assigned over major cities according to the world powers that are in control at the time of dispensation of man. I'm going to prove that in just a minute. And every title that will be given, not only in the present age, but the one to come. In other words, we need to begin to realize that God has given us power to over defeat our enemies. Somebody say amen. Everybody go to Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25. I want to teach you something this morning. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Do you know that there's nothing you're going to face this year that God can't get you out of? Do you know there's no problem, no setback, no doubt, no fear, no dilemma, no attack? There's absolutely nothing that's going to come against you that God isn't going to save you to the uttermost. It says he's going to save them to the uttermost, they that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That word intercession is paga in the Hebrew. It is an interesting word because paga actually means you hit the mark. It actually means you meet with kindness. It actually means that you are given access to something. The word pagal means that you encounter something, that you meet something. And a lot of people pray, but very few people meet God in their prayers. That's why it's prayer and not intercession. Intercession requires a conversation. We had to have conversations before the trees, and there must be a conversation after the trees to where we converse with God. God and he speaks back to us. You need to understand that that word actually means to encounter, to reach, to meet. It means that you have made contact with God. How many of you would love for your prayers to start making contact with God? How would you like to open your mouth and hear God, know that God has heard you when you prayed? How many of you would like to pray and know that mountains move when you pray? How many of you would love to turn your trust into faith on this side of the tree and come out victorious? Are you tired of losing some battles spiritually? Are you tired of being the tail and not the head? I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that is interceding for you and me, and that he has made contact and he's put every devil, demon, and hell underneath our feet, because he that liveth in me is greater than he that liveth in the world. Somebody put your hands together and give God a shout of praise. Paga faith. It means you hit the mark. It's where God speaks back to you. But the problem is, number two, most Christians do not know or understand their authority in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the one thing I've learned about bullies is that as long as you let them bully you, they'll bully you. But the moment you stand up and the moment you begin to square your shoulders back and you say, I'm not taking this crap off of you another day. You're not getting my milk money. You're not getting my girlfriend. You're not getting my wife. You're not going to get anything that I got because God gave it to me. You got to turn it into spiritual terms. Devil, I'm summoning you right now by the kingdom of God that I'm not taking another thing off of you. You've been attacking my family. You've been attacking my job. You've been attacking my mother. You've been attacking my father, you've been attacking my brother, you've been attacking me in the left, you've been attacking me on the right, and I've had enough because I'm going to grow up and learn who I am in Christ Jesus, and you have to understand that I now know you don't have the power over me you used to. Everybody go to Hebrews 4 and 16. Let me show you something. You've got to begin to understand who you are in Christ. If you're going to win the battle, if you're going to stop losing, and if you're going to live victoriously on this side of the tree in radical faith. Hebrews 4 and 16 says that you can come to the throne of God boldly. That word boldly is the Greek word which means freedom of frankness. It actually means that you can speak all you think. Have you ever given somebody a piece of your mind? Have you ever went to somebody and told them exactly how you felt? Have you ever stood up to somebody that was bullying you and said, I got news for you. I've had all I'm going to take off you. When I left last year to go do the 500-year anniversary of Martin Luther, I was with the associate pastor of Martin Luther's church there in Wittenberg. And I was amazed at how many times I got cussed out on November the 1st, which is the day of All Saints Eve, with tourists wanting to get in the building. And because of security, we couldn't let anybody in the building unless they had a security pass. So somehow it fell on me and the associate pastor at Wittenberg to keep people out. Well, I literally got cussed out by Christians and saints and everybody else for over 2 hours. And I just sit there and tried to smile and said, everybody's watching you. There's thousands of people here. I know you want to whoop somebody right now, but you just got to be nice, Michael. And finally, this one guy come up with this other guy, and he cussed me out left and right, called me every name in the book, said I wasn't a Christian, all this stuff. And I'm not exaggerating. It was really that bad. And finally, he came back about an hour or 2 hours later, and I'd been cussed out by people for 2 hours. And I had all I was going to take. You ever been to that point in your life where you had all you were going to take? I had all I was going to take. And he came up, and before I knew what hit me, the Holy Ghost got on me, and I chewed him one way and out the other. And when I got done with him, he left with his tail between his legs. You have the power, number one, to look at your enemy and speak frankly and say, in the name of Jesus, I'm a child of God. You have no dominion here. You have no dominion over my house. You have no dominion over my family. You have no dominion over my purpose and my work. I have had all I'm going to take off the adversary. But you also have that same power to go to Jesus Christ, who's making intercession for you, and to speak frankly to him and say, God, I need you to move, and I need you to move right now. I need you to hear me when I pray. And you've got the ability to talk to God very frankly, because it doesn't get insecure. So you get to this place to where you speak frankly. Sometimes you got to be pushed there. Everybody go to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And you have to understand something about the believer's authority. You got to prepare for it. And the way you prepare for it is you realize you got a boldness where you can go to God boldly and speak frankly. Number two, Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 says that before you go to God with the spirit of intercession, you've got to plow up fallow grounds in your heart. If you think that you're going to keep sleeping with your boyfriend and getting from God what you want, you're a fool. If you think you can live any way you want to live, grace or no grace, and have your prayers answered in a supernatural realm, you're very, very silly. But I'm here to tell you that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that when a righteous woman or a righteous man who loves God with all of their heart, all of their soul, and all of their mind begins to hit their needs and begin to communicate with God, and God begins to communicate back with them, and they got a heart where God is first, not second. They got a heart where worship is the first thing on their lips. They got a heart to where they're reading the Word of God. They got a heart to where they're yielding to the Spirit. There's not a devil, demon in hell that can defeat you or destroy you when you are fully sold out to the kingdom of God. And that kind of victory is reserved for only those. It's reserved for a remnant that has not bowed their knee to Baal. There is a remnant that God still has that will not bow down. There is a remnant, and that's who God will use. There's a remnant. Somebody shout, there's a remnant. You got to understand the believer's authority. It gives you incredible access, this intercession. Amos 3 and 7 says God tells prophetic people things he don't tell everybody else. James 1 and 5 says, if you lack wisdom, ask me, I'll give it to you. But Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 through 23 tells us that God has already made us victorious in Christ. Now, it makes great camp meeting preaching. It makes great preaching on a holiday. Makes great preaching, but it's the truth. Do you realize there's more power living in you if you're saved than what you realize right now? But you can't just be saved and have this kind of power. You got to be sold out to God. You got to get rid of the idols in your life. You got to make sure you're not reaching for that tree. But if you ever get to the place to where you make up your mind, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you ever get to the place to where God is first in your life, not second, not third or first, only when it's not summer, I'm here to tell you there's a power available to you in this world on the other side of the tree that really does move mountains. Colossians 2 and 10, go there. It says, in him you have been made complete. That word complete means filled. So what it says in the Greek is that in him, in Christ, you have been made complete. You have been filled. You have been filled with power. You have been filled with faith. You have been filled with the ability to trust. You have been filled with the ability to understand the Bible. You have been filled with tenacity. You have been filled with love. You have been filled with joy. You have been filled with long-suffering. You have been filled with faith. You've been filled with patience. It means that everything you need to be successful, God has already given you, and that's exactly what Peter says in 2 Peter. Everything you need to be victorious, you have already got. You're not lacking anything. Even though there's a fall and it rains on the just and the unjust, the Bible doesn't say that you have to walk through this world with your tail between your legs, losing every battle that you're in. Do you understand that Job only had one battle in his life until the end, and he passed that test? Do you understand that Daniel was 80 years old before the favor of God was ever questioned in his life, and he won one battle after another battle after another battle after another battle? And I'm here to tell you that too many of us are going through battles that we ought not to go to. If we would just surrender and give our heart fully to God, we'd begin to win again. We'd begin to leap tall buildings in a single bound. We'd begin to live free from adversarial attacks. In many ways, not all the ways, there's a season. But I'm not talking about a season. I'm talking about your ability to live victoriously in this world. But the only people who get that kind of power with God are those that are fully sold out to him. You can't be swapping partners and think you're going to be able to be full of God's spirit and faith. You can't be hiding behind grace. You can't be making fun of holiness. I'm here to tell you that when God is in your life and he's first place, it makes mountains tremble. Demons shake and demonic spirits squeal at the name of Jesus, and that name and that person has taken up residency inside your very soul. It put the lights on in your spirit. It turns the electricity on in your body, and you got a power that is greater than any power in this earth. It's more powerful than Buddha. It's more powerful than Muhammad. It's more powerful than the United Nations. It's more powerful than the Kremlin. It's the name in which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of kings and kings of, and the King of kings. Somebody say amen. I'll give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. You see, it says, in him you've been made complete, and he's the head over all rule and authority. Listen, if he's the head over all principalities, what's that devil going to do to you? Go with me to Matthew 28 and look real quick. It says, all power has been given unto me. All power. While you're there, go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. It says, and so he said unto them, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He says, see. Oh, I missed that in the first service. See, that's a big word. I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing, absolutely nothing, not your ex-wife, not the person that hates you at work, absolutely nothing will by any means harm you. Now, when it says you have the ability to tread on snakes, he's not talking about those crazy nuts on Discovery Channel that speak in tongues, shake, and pick up a snake. I am definitely not of that religious persuasion. That's foolishness. It's tempting God. But it was, and how do you know that, Michael? Well, I'll tell you how I know it, through great exegesis and hermeneutics. You always interpret a passage from the front passage and the back passage. The front passage, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Satan showed up in the garden on two legs as a snake. And now Jesus has said, I got news for you little sheep. I know you got this imagery of barely making it after the tree and that you're not who I originally called you to be, yet one day you will be when I give you that glorified body. But I want you to know that I have not left you comfortless. I want you to know that I have still given you power after the trees to tread on scorpions and to tread on snakes. And there's not a devil, demon in hell that's going to be able to do anything about it, because you've got greatness living in you. You got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You got the Master of the Universe. You got the one that spoke the stars into existence living on the inside of you. You got the Word of God in you. And it was the Word that gave us the earth. It was the Word that gave us the galaxy. It was the Word that gave us the Milky Way. It was the Word. It was the Word. He spoke and it was. And he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You got greatness living in you. The problem is most of you don't know it. And the other half of you that know it, you don't know how to exercise that power. Colossians 2 and 15 says, and in this way God has disarmed. Interesting war language. And in this way God has disarmed the evil rulers and authorities. I don't really care. I do care. Because I know what the Bible says. How many of you believe in demons? Let me see your heads. Now, I like what C.S. Lewis said. There's two things dangerous about believing in demons. Number one, that they don't exist. And number two, having an unhealthy interest that they do exist. My accent is not on demonic spirits this morning. Our teaching of the word of the holy living God is not founded upon the adversary coming against us. I'm here to tell you, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but there's somebody in here that's going to wake up and realize who you are in Christ and begin to pray in intercession and break some things loose in your life. And you will get the spoils of war. In this way, God disarmed demons, evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory on the cross of Jesus. Matthew 16 and 19, go there. Matthew 16 and 19 says something interesting. Jesus said, I have given you. Listen. You know what he did? He gave Adam and Eve dominion and authority. He gave them dominion and authority even after they sinned. Now Jesus is saying, I have given you the keys to the kingdom. I gave them to you. Touch your neighbor and say, you. Now go to Matthew 12 and 29. The Bible says when you begin to realize who you are in Christ Jesus, that the first thing you got to do as an intercession act of faith is you got to bind up the strong man. Now, the point is, there's something stronger than you. That's why many of you are under addiction right now. Something stronger than you. That's why some people lay out of church on a holiday. Something stronger than them. I'm not talking about people on vacation. I'm just talking about people who weren't going to be here next week either. until some kind of tragedy hits their life. They wonder why they get whipped every week. Wonder why God's not here and God doesn't help me. Let me tell you something. God will help you when you begin to help yourself and begin to know who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to live right, God will open up the doors of blessings for your life. But he's not going to open up the doors of blessing to your life until you get your acting gear and begin to give him your full heart. And when he gives you, you give him your full heart, you'll unlock favor. You're going to unlock. And how do you unlock favor? Through faith. Where does faith come from? Trust. How did trust arrive? Through knowing he's good and that you love him. It says you in Matthew 12 and 29, it uses these interesting words. It says, you got to bind and you got to loose it. Now, I know you're like me and you've heard a lot of goofy people use that terminology. I bind it in Jesus' name. I loose it in Jesus' name. Was there truth to that? Absolutely. Because you realize before a charismatic cuckoo abused that, it was actually a very well-known Jewish term that was legally interpreted in the Talmud and the commentaries of the Jewish rabbis. The concept that you bind and loose literally means this to the Hebrews. It means that you forbid by an indisputable authority something to have control over your life. How many believe God's the authority over all things? Everything's been placed underneath his feet. So when you say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, you got to speak it out. That's the purpose of intercession. Being speaking, you got to speak it out boldly. Listen, when you really need to move the hand of God, when you really need to have something appear quickly, you ain't got time for now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. There are moments in your life on the helm of victory where you begin to pray in intercession and God begins to speak back to you and give you revelation that you did not have previously before you got a hold of the throne of God, before you made contact with him. But when you begin to make contact with him, you have the power. I've just showed you where you have the power. I just showed you where Jesus said you had the power. I just showed you where Jesus got the power from God, and I just showed you where Jesus said I gave you the keys. So you have the ability to say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this demonic spirit that's influencing my daughter tonight. I forbid you. And in what name do you forbid a demonic spirit not to touch your daughter? In an indisputable name. In the name that's the most beautiful name above all names. In the name where the dead in Christ will rise first. In the name that shed the blood on Mount Calvary and rose again on the third day. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, there is victory. In the name of Jesus, how do you sit there? You get tired of getting pushed around, start binding something with indisputable authority. That means that if, let me make sure I'm in the right place. How many believe that Jesus and God's over everything? Now, if you really believe that, you have no problem with what I just taught you. Because if he's over everything and he's put snakes underneath our feet, put the devil underneath our feet, gave us the keys, filled us completely with what we needed to be filled with, then there is nothing that anybody by any means is going to harm us. And I'm going to tell you that the devil, and you have to be careful with speaking about principalities and darknesses of the air and spiritual wickednesses in high places, because the Bible says that even the archangels will not bring an accusation against him. They will not make fun of him because they know his strength. But it's not about you. And it's not about the entity trying to destroy your family right now. It's about the power of God that's untapped in you. You have indisputable authority living in you when you're a Christian. It's either the truth or there is no God, and Jesus certainly isn't him. Indisputable authority to say, Satan, take your hands off my child. Indisputable authority to walk through your your children's room and anoint it with oil and say, I take authority. I bind every principality, every spiritual wickedness in high place. You have the ability to get in your prayer closet and shut your door and say, in the name of Jesus, these enemies at my work, I bind their lips in the name of Jesus. I bind their plans against me in the name of Jesus. But it also says you have the ability to loose. You know what loose means to the Hebrews and the Talmud and the ancient commentaries of the rabbis? It means indisputable authority. So God has not only given you the ability to open your mouth, because words create things. God has given you the ability to use His word, open your mouth, and bind principalities and demonic attacks against your life. But He's also given you the ability to loose the power of heaven and the angelic beings to help you get to where you need to be in God's will for your life. So you can say, I loose the Spirit of God in this service. I loose the presence of God. I loose the Holy Spirit. From my free will, you're allowed to do whatever you want to do today. You see, you got to bind the strong man. But I want everybody to look at something. I want you to go with me and understand something about the believer's authority. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Jeremy, come on up. Don't play yet, band. Thanks, buddy. I want you to hear me. I've never been more serious in my life. Do you believe what I've just said? Give God a hand clap of praise if you do. Do you really? Well, if that's true, on the other side of the tree, Jesus looked at the 12 and said, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. The Paraclete in the Greek, the one that walks alongside you is what it means. He's not only left us not comfortless, He's given us a gift. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And He said, what I want you to do before you go outside this world, now that I have redeemed the curse of the law from the cross, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my Son, I want you to wait in Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem with me in April, I'm taking you to the spot. And I want you to wait until you've been endued with power from on high. This is not a Pentecostal thing. This is not a Baptist thing. It is not a Catholic thing. But all of them have got people who believe this in them now. The Bible says in the last days, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. He didn't just give you the authority as a believer. He gave you the power of the Holy Spirit. And He gave you the power to receive a gift. Peter said, it's for those, your children's children, and as many as the Lord God shall call. And if you say it went out with the early apostles, number one, you need to listen to a previous podcast that I taught about cessation. But to answer it very quickly, the apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 says, I speak in tongues more than you all. And Paul was not one of the early 12, and he was teaching the people twice or three times removed from the early church. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the apostle Paul was teaching the future church, and he says, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you'll be talking only to God. Since people won't understand you, you'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit about the mysterious things. So what the Bible says is that when I pray in tongues, I am praying directly to God, a language that only He understands. And if God, who is perfect, allows me to pray a language that I don't understand, but it goes directly to Him, then it is without any assumption that I'm praying the perfect will of God and in no error as I pray. Do you realize that there is a power available to you this morning? To pray in the Holy Spirit and to pray directly to God and to hit the mark. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. It says you have the ability to pray in the mind. You have the ability to pray. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome of it? I will pray in the spirit and I'll pray with my mind. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with my mind. Otherwise, I'll bless only my spirit. Do you realize that the Bible says in Timothy that you're to stir up the gifts of God that are inside of you? And that there's some days it's kind of like, listen, there's several things I know that are in hell. Church school buses, church sound systems, and I'm completely convinced that weed eaters are in hell. But it's almost like a godly weed eater that actually starts when you pull the stupid string. And you can pull that stupid string all you want. Knuckles will be bleeding and that stupid thing still. Can you? I've got a bitterness in my heart about weed eaters. So I got to. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Wave at me. Weed eaters are in hell. But that weed eater teaches has taught me a lot about God too, because what I didn't realize is that there's this little bubble on the inside of that weed eater that if I push it, it gets gas. So when I push that little bubble, power comes up in the bubble. And John said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it'll be like rivers of living waters flowing up in your belly. And when you get the power of the Holy Spirit to pray in the Spirit with the gift of tongues, you got power that you did not have before, because the Holy Spirit will come on you and pray the perfect will of God every single time. It gives you a power you didn't have before. And Romans 8:26 says that when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit prays through you that words cannot express. Right. You know what's interesting? If you call the office, I'll send it to you. Ted Koppel on ABC News Nightline in the 80s did this. Sean sent it to me recently where somebody else has just done it again. Neuroscientists have hooked up people praying in tongues. If you know anything about neuroscience, you know that in your brain there are regions that control every function, specifically in that region. There's a region that controls language. There's a region that controls emotions. There's a region that controls creativity. It's all regional when it comes to intellect in the brain. There has to be a God. Just look at the brain. But they've actually hooked up people praying in tongues to neurological machines. And they have proven scientifically that when a person is praying in tongues, they do not use the place in the brain that is known for language. And what does the scripture say? It says God will bypass your brain and let it come out of your mouth. There's power in the name of Jesus this morning. And you have that power. He said, and you shall be endued with additional power when that the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my martyrs, my witnesses. He says to us, this is a warfare. You got to arm yourself with the battle. Everybody go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Let me show you something as I close. While you're there, 1 Timothy 6:12 says something interesting. It says, fight the good fight of faith. The word fight there is actually the word that means victory in public. So when 1 Timothy 6:17 tells you to fight the good fight of faith, how many want to fight the good fight? Everybody say fight. You want to fight the good fight of faith, that means you got to start winning in public. Now that's interesting. How many of you are tired of losing in public? How many of you are tired of being set back and then set back some more? The Bible says when you fight the good fight of faith, you'll begin to see the victory in public. It's where God is the center of your heart and you're fully sold out to Him. But what that also means is that you always win in public what you've been paying for in private. And the reason so many of us are living beneath, my God, I could preach this for a month. If I ain't helping nobody else, I'm helping myself. You realize that if I will sell out completely to God, give him my full heart, my full allegiance, and put him completely first, get rid of the idols in my life, get rid of the affections from the wrong side of the tree, and sell out. Everybody say sell out. If I sell out, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about greasy grace. I'm not talking about having grace to grow up. I'm talking about selling out to God. Selling out to God. When I get to that place to where I've sold out to God and I get the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps me to pray the perfect will of God, and I begin to make a prayer room somewhere, you will win in public what you paid for in private. And there's too many Christians that couldn't heal a gnat of a migraine headache. Why? Because God's not first in your life. Does it mean that if the rapture took place, you'd be left behind? Probably not. But I'm at the point in my life, in my walk with God, where I'm going after the strong man. In your life, in my life, and I'm going after victory. I don't need it on the other side. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3 says, I beg you that when I come, I may not be able to be as bold with you as I expected I was like the last time, because some of you are living by the standards of this world. In other words, lukewarm status quo Christians tick Paul off. Verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapon we fight, we are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. When you begin to intercede rather than pray, you do so to make contact with God. It is rooted deeply in trust to know that he's good, and completely selling out to him so that your heart has been plowed and is pliable. The Holy Spirit comes to give you power and turns the lights back on this side of the tree. And then he turns around and he places power upon power in your life. He gives you the keys because of the victory of Jesus Christ. And he tells you, I gave you the keys and I've already trampled the enemies and nothing's going to harm you because I've already won your war. But then he says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. There is nothing more powerful than a man or a woman with a prayer life. You say, well, what about the Muslims? They pray five times a day. Listen, it's the source. You can fast with me starting next Sunday for revival, for God to fill this place. But if you don't connect with God in communicative techniques, intercession where you make contact, you might as well go to Taroni's and get a large pizza and eat it because you're wasting your time. But if you ever get bold enough to deny your flesh and bring gifts to the poor and hit your knees and meet me on Thursdays at 6 o'clock for 40 days, it's over for your adversary. It's not that God can't put the head of Goliath at your feet. It's not that God hadn't planned to place the head of Goliath at your feet. But go to Daniel chapter 10 and let me show you something as a close. The Bible says that Daniel was in a fast. And he was fasting. Daniel was righteous and only went through one major. Of course, he went through a great battle as a child, lost his family, was made a eunuch, brought to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar, made it through several other Persian kings, got favor in an ungodly world, and faced the worst battle of his life. His worst trial came when he was 80. He lived all of his life in favor. And now he's fasting in Daniel chapter 10, And the Bible says that an angel named Gabriel showed up and said, I would have been here earlier with your prayer request answer, but I was held up by the king of Persia. Who was in charge? Who was the world empire in charge during the time of Daniel in Daniel chapter 10? The Persian Empire, the Babylonians. What's interesting, if you know your history, Marshall, who came into power after the Persians and the Babylonians lost power? The Greeks. That is why Michael the archangel showed up and wrestled with the prince of Persia, with Gabriel, and they broke the stronghold that was keeping Daniel's prayers while he was fasted from being answered. And he said, the prince of Greece is coming. That word prince, where it says the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece, is actually where we get our word in English strategy. It means very clearly, exegetically, hermeneutically, that there are demons assigned to nations. Demons assigned to territories and demons assigned to subjects strategically. How many believe there's a demon loose in America? That's the same reaction I got out of the first crowd. There's absolutely. When we have to tell our boys you're a boy and we have to tell our girls you're a girl, there's a demon loose. Now, this is interesting because I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Jeremy, go ahead and play. I want you to go to Deuteronomy and I want you to go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8. And while you're going there, I want to remind you that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 20 says that you have to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation. You got to be sure of your salvation. You got to be giving your faith away. I want you to put on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, because it is truth. And how many of you know you cannot obey what you do not? So you have to have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. God created the world through words. The Word of God is the Word made flesh that dwelt amongst us. It is the power of the Word and standing on the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew, I can bind and loose whatsoever things I will. Satan, I bind you. God, I loose you in this situation. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You got to have the shield of faith. You got to have the belt of truth. In other words, it's very important that you read the Bible so that you don't grow to believe lies, or all the rest of your clothing will fall off. I hate to tell this, but I got to tell it and give you a good laugh before I give this altar call. I went to the movies yesterday. I don't ever do that on a Saturday afternoon, but I wanted to see that new movie about Adolf Eichmann, who was one of the four architects of the Holocaust. The first three cowards killed themselves. He ran to Austria and lived a life for many years. And in 1960, the Israeli special forces found him. And I buy popcorn and I buy Cokes and I buy everything else, but I am not about to pay $5 for a bag of M&Ms. Well, I had a pair of shorts on and had my M&Ms in it and realized I didn't have any pockets, so I put it right here and I tied it on my shorts. Had my popcorn bucket and I was going to go buy my $10 Coke. And I get right up to the door of AMC in Evansville and it falls through my shorts on the ground. You want to talk about intercession and praying quickly? That's what happens when you believe a lie and you don't have the belt of truth on. Everything else just falls right off. You can quote the word all you want. You're misquoting it, just falls right off. The moral of the story is be careful when you sneak M&Ms into a movie theater. But I want to show you something. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 8 says that God sets bounds for nations according to the numbers of the angels of God. Now read that again. I have never ever seen that scripture until recently. Until this weekend, actually, when I was studying for this message, the details of this message. I thought, God, what in the world? He sets bounds for nations according to the number of the angels of God. what that means hermeneutically and exegetically is that God has taken his angels. Now you realize one angel killed 100,000 people in the Old Testament with the jawbone of an ass. One angel hurled Satan out of heaven, and Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning. He takes one angel and he places them over kingdoms. That's what the Bible says. At the boundaries of the earth, he puts an angel over them. They're not fat little people. They're not people who are our loved ones who went on to heaven. Our loved ones do not become angels. But there's a power in you that if you ever listen to this shepherd and tap into it, your life will change drastically this morning. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but if you're in here and you need something broke loose in your life, I want you to come and stand up here with me, and I'm going to anoint you with oil very quickly and dismiss. Because you got to go make a prayer closet somewhere and you got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor Michael, I haven't got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Will you come right over here to the right? And you will before you leave today. You want the Holy Ghost right over there. You know how I got the Holy Ghost? Jensen Franklin and Perry Stone used to tag team preach at North Cleveland Church of God, which is the oldest Pentecostal church in the world. Jensen said, if you want the Holy Spirit, get out right now and on the count of three, stand in the aisle, and when I lay hands on you, you're going to speak with that. Or when I say whatever, he says, you're going to speak in tongues. I spoke two words in tongues and put my hand over my mouth like that. And you know what I said to myself? I said, that's me. And you know what? I was exactly right. Because I went back and I read, Jordan, where it says the Holy Spirit gives you the utterances to speak it. And John said it'll be like rivers of living waters in you. It'll just overflow. And so I was driving down 41 from Slaughters to Sebring, and I thought, I'm going to try this thing. I was 18 years old. I wanted to go into ministry, and my pastor said, you go get the Holy Ghost and come back and talk to me then. I'll talk to you. And I wanted it bad. I was dreaming that I got it. I had dreams that I was praying in the Holy Spirit before I ever got the Holy Spirit. And I just started speaking it out in faith, boldly, frankly. And it flooded that car, and I've had it and worked in it ever since. Now let me correct something, because someone's lying. I asked if you need something broke loose in your life to come up and stand right here. Do it on the count of three. One, two, three. If you need something broke loose in your life, right here. You want the Holy Ghost? Get in that line right there. When something broke loose in your life, something holding back your future, something holding back your daughter, something holding you back, the devil is a liar. Somebody say amen. Amen. Would you stretch your hands forward and let me pray for them real quick?
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.